So we're going to open it up to questions now. Would anyone in the audience like to ask a question?
The question was for Natalie, why did your father not work for the CIA?
He didn't work for the CIA because he was Jewish.
Is there a book club in which people in Russia and the United States can communicate with each other? Anybody know?
I don't know that answer, but I'm sure there is. I mean, people communicate at every, I do remember when my dad was in the CIA, and many of his friends who also worked in the CIA who were just, you know, going back and forth and talking to people from Russia and reading, exchanging papers and books and all kinds of information, yeah. My father would say he was never like a spook or in the CIA that ran around the world doing stuff, that basically he was just a fact collector and a reader, that he read. He read articles and books and everything that came in from the Soviet Union and exchanged information too. He believed, his theory was, he did not believe that America was more innocent than the Soviet Union, but he understood it was very important for both countries to understand what the other was really doing behind the scenes in order for the Cold War not to become a hot war. Because everybody in public puts out all these threats and pounds their shoes and says, we will bury you and stuff like that. But behind the scenes, each nation needs to know what's really going on in order not to be so threatened.
The question was whether John Nichols' father worked on the Zhivago affair.
One of my father's orders was to not talk about it. So there's a great deal that I do not know about what my father was doing during that time.
When did you first hear your writer's voice? Is that directed toward everybody?
I wrote a poem about a chocolate cake. And I actually, about Ebinger's Bakery in Brooklyn. And I knew at that moment, I wasn't looking out for anybody else to say anything. It was coming from me.
I wrote a story called A Very Unfortunate Guy when I was like 14, in the exact style of Damon Runyon. And that's when I knew that I had found my voice.
For me, it had to do with public speaking, not specifically with writing. I remember when I finally learned how to speak in public, or had a few ideas about how to speak in public, I heard in my own ear my voice, and I realized after a while that that was also my writer's voice.
And for me, I think when I first sat down at my computer to start Fair Game, I looked at it as if you had asked me, so what just happened? And I, you know, do you have a few hours? And I just tried to write the story as though I was telling it to you. And that's how I started.
So the question is, there are many Hispanic writers, Southwestern writers, whose works are being banned in Arizona and Texas. What are your thoughts on that?
I remember going to benefits at like Salt of the Earth Bookstore in Albuquerque and stuff, when particularly Bless Me Ultima had been banned in several schools and stuff like that. But I was not aware that there is a deliberate process of banning, you know, Chicano or Hispanic Latino works. I thought that in effect that those works were being much more widely distributed than previously. I know that even the Milagro Beanfield War got banned in a lot of schools and stuff. Yeah, they didn't like all the fuck yous in it. So I don't know, and I may just not be connected to the modern world. I used to go around a lot to do workshops in San Antonio and Flagstaff and, you know, many, and so many of the writers were like Sandra Cisneros and Ana Castillo and Alfredo Vea and Luis Urrea and stuff like that. That my impression was that there are still very strong, Hispanic literature, Latino literature programs in colleges and schools. But I have withdrawn from the world a lot. I don't move around as much as I used to, and I may not be up to date at all.
I would guess that it's part of our anti-immigration stance. One of the things that we do in this country when we want to marginalize people, as we have done with our immigrant populations, is to deny them their personhood. And one way to do that is to be sure that nobody reads what they write.
If it's true, it's disgusting. And literature will prevail. It won't stay that way. Literature will prevail. And it'll make people hungry for it.